You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman.
And I'm KUOW arts and culture reporter Mike Davis. And Libby, I got a quiz for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Name this movie.
They look exactly like us. They think like us. They know where we are.
Jordan Peele, Us.
Oh, okay. That was an easy one. I got another one for you. How about this?
I mean, they said Us multiple times in the cut, so yeah, I got that one.
Okay, it gets harder. How about this one?
So we're saving the galaxy again?
Yep.
Awesome! We're really going to be able to jack up our price if we're two-time galaxy savers.
Yeah! Okay, 1970s soundtrack, raccoon with firearms. I'm going to say it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. You're two for two. We'll give you that. It was volume two, but we'll let you slide.
Okay.
Last one. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
For the first time in our lifetimes, we're standing together with 13 districts. Our future starts tomorrow at dawn, when we march together into the capital. To slow our advance, President Snow is building a minefield of traps.
All right, I know it's Hunger Games, but I have no idea which volume it is. I'm just going to guess it's the third one.
It's The Mockingjay Part 2.
Oh.
You were
so close.
So close. But I have one more question for you. What do all of these movies have in common?
Oh, boy. I don't know. Hollywood blockbusters? Genre pictures? Buff superstars? I got nothing.
Well, technically, all of those things are true. But there's one more thing that these movies have in common, and that's Camille Friend. She did the hairstyling for all of those films, along with the plenty of others you've probably seen. She's doing the new Little Mermaid movie coming out in May.
Nice.
She's everywhere. Yes. But she's been a celebrity hairstylist for over 20 years. And this year, she's gotten her first Oscar nomination for Best Makeup and Hairstyling on Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. But guess what, Libby?
What, Mike?
I got a chance to sit down with Camille earlier this month, and I got to ask her how it feels to be nominated for an Oscar.
Mike, it feels fantastic. Fabulous. Exciting. Exhilarating. I mean, you know, it's something that I've dreamed about, I've prayed about, I've meditated about, and I've worked towards. And for it to happen, it feels like a dream, but I know it's not a dream. And I just feel blessed. I feel humbled. And I'm so grateful because, you know, this movie, it could have been over. There could have been no more Black Panther. See you later. Over. And, you know, and even last night, I watched the behind the scenes on Disney Plus. It's not a plug. I watched it just to give myself like that reminder of like everything that we went through, everything that's happened to get us here. And, you know, sometimes you have some pain, you know, you have some tough times to get you to the glory. So all of those things have happened to get us here. And I feel fabulous.
That is amazing. And I'm just curious, when you're designing styles for a movie like Black Panther, and not even just Black Panther, I mean, Wakanda Forever introduced a whole new culture. So it wasn't even like last time where you had all of these beautiful African styles. Now you have the Latin folks, the Mesoamerican folks. What was it like making that pivot and adding those type of styles as well?
You know what? I was so glad to make the pivot and be able to. I always like in like the Marvel universe, I always like doing people's origin stories, because when you do an origin story, you get to put your stamp on it. And I was really happy to, you know, explore another culture. You know, the Mayan culture is something that you really haven't seen on camera. So we were just allowed to just totally open up and figure that out. And we had help. We had a great professor. His name is Dr. Aldana. You know, he studies Mayan culture. So he was so instrumental in helping us like really source it out and figure it out, because, you know, there is no 1-800, you know, Mayan wigs. Like, you can't call that. There's no 1-800 Wakanda wigs. Like, it's something that truly has to be created with our hands and with our vision.
So you did hairstyles that had to be able to be submerged in water. How did that change the process? How did that change your approach?
It totally changed my approach. I'll tell you, on the first day we did camera test and I was standing next to our executive producer, Nate Moore. I was standing with Ryan Coogler, our director, and then our visual effects, Jeffrey Bauman. And the hair was like going wah, wah, wah. And they all look at me, and Nate is so professional. He goes, "So Camille, how are you going to solve this?" I said, "Give me a minute. We're going to fix it." And, you know, because it was something like, thank God that we were able to have tests and work these things out. And, you know, and Jeffrey Bauman was like, "Camille, what are you going to do?" I says, "Don't worry. We're going to figure it out." So we have to go back to, I call it the trailer, the research and development lab. And we started working it out. You know, everything from literally, I call it Home Depot. So like figuring out, are we going to use a glue? Is a hairspray going to work? Because no matter what, when they put people in the water, what happened was it put a big cloud in the water. So a white cloud. So we couldn't use any product. So where do you go? So what we ended up using was a spirit gum, and we just end up really liquefying it with alcohol to make, I call it a glue hairspray. So in sense of that, so we did a test and we started spraying the wigs with that and like submerging them in my bathtub at home. Like, just to say, okay, does it turn white? Does it hold up? Like I would put the wigs in at night and go to bed and say like, because you know, you need to know, how is this going to look in 8 hours? So, you know, submerging them at home in my bathtub and figuring it all out and then doing more attachment to it, sewing some of it down, like some of actually the same principles that we use with the Wakandans, but taking it over on that side. And we found the right combination. The hair stayed up in the water and everybody was happy.
So experiments, a bunch of science, a bunch of experiments.
No, Mike, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, you know, one thing if you have a problem or you have something you might not have seen before or done, this is what it's about. That's what I love about my job. I like using my mind, like let's figure it out. What would like, you know, A plus B, C, D, what is going to get us to that? And like, we just do a lot of trial and error, like with any other job, but figuring out how we can make it work.
Wow. And it definitely did work. It did work. And I want to ask, in these movies, what do the hairstyles say to the audience? I mean, we see them. We don't always know who the person is behind the hairstyles, but this is one of the first things that the audience sees. How do you speak to the audience through hair?
I call it the hair story. So I feel like what I like to do is convey, you know, always a character has a story. They have an arc, you know, they have highs and they have lows. And I feel like the hair story should go along with that. So if we're telling the story through hair with the character, that's what we're doing. Like, you know, Angela Bassett has said many times, you know, once she gets on the hair, she gets on the wardrobe, that's where she can really imagine the character. Like a lot of times, Mike, I'll put on the hair and then I'll just leave the actor. Sometimes I'll just leave them in my chair because sometimes they need that moment with the mirror to have that conversation and to find that character that's in you. So my job is just to help you get in your process and be the best actor on camera as possible.
Camille, can you talk a little bit about what it's like being able to do black hair in Hollywood? Actually, being able to do all hair in Hollywood. But as you know, we rounded this corner on 2020, we've all heard stories of people not being able to do everyone's hair. What is it like for you being someone who can?
It's pretty good. You know, this is the thing. I think at this point in Hollywood, it's every hairstylist and makeup artist's responsibility to whoever sits in your chair, you should know how to do their hair texture and their skin tone. Like there's no more excuses. There's no more games. This is what has to happen. And it's been probably part of what some of my success is because I can do anybody. And ultimately, my job is to, no matter who you are or what color your skin is, if you're sitting in my chair, you should be comfortable. You should feel like I have the knowledge, I have the skills. Like that's all very, very important. And it's just, I think things are changing and they're getting better, but we still have a really long way to go. And I say this, I answer the cry of, I tell my colleagues, hire the right person for the right job. Don't hire people because they're just your friend or you just like them. Hire the people that can do the work for the actor who's sitting in the chair. because if we weren't, if the actor wasn't sitting in the chair, we wouldn't have a job. Mm-hmm. So we ultimately have to take care of our actors, and that's what's most important.
I want to back up a little bit based on that, because I'm sure your career did not start in Hollywood. It had to start somewhere else. How did you get started doing hair professionally, and what were those early days like?
Well, I'm from Tempe, Arizona, and you know, I'd never wanted to do anything else. So this was it. You know, as a kid, you know, working in the salon, shampooing, taking out rollers, sweeping hair, you know, basing people's scalp for a relaxer, doing all of those things. That's what I learned as a kid. And, you know, that's why we would work in the salon on Saturday. So at Saturday evening, we'd be the last ones to get our hair done, but you have to work for it. You're just not going to walk in there and get your hair done. You have to work for it. So, you know, that gave me, I mean, a family has a great work ethic. And, you know, and I still live and breathe by that. And then ultimately I have some great mentors in my life. You know, there was a woman, her name is Joanne Moore. And in Arizona, she took me under her wing. She was a hairstylist, and we are still family friends. All of us are friends. She's friends with my mother. And, you know, she was a person who took me under her wing. She was from Chicago, bad hairstylist, bad, can get down. And she took me under her wing, and she showed me like so many things and so many life lessons, because she had been through a lot. You know, one of those older Black ladies who they just have the wisdom. So, you know, she took me under her wing and showed me so much. And then I ended up coming to LA. I thought I was in love. You know how that happens, Mike. Things happen. So I ended up coming to LA, and, you know, I just kind of like fell into Hollywood. But that's really the backstory.
I want to ask a little bit about your business, Hair Scholars.
Yes.
Tell me how, not even how it got started, why? What compelled you to start this business, and what exactly do you do?
Okay. So, Mike, it's always in the business. I was always teaching people, and I like to help people, and I'd like to mentor people. So teaching people the business of the business, and also teaching people how to have equity in the business. Like, I'm teaching people how to be department heads like I am. And part of it is what I've really found out also in the business. A lot of people of color don't feel like they get any equity. So they feel like, just for instance, they feel like they will get called in to do one actor for a couple days, but then they get no equity, in the sense of they don't get a credit. They're not a department head. They're not a key. They're not a third. So they don't get any equity to build their resumes. So what my thing I like to do is, when I'm teaching, is to change that. That's why we have classes on how to be a department head, how to be a key, like, you know, how to get equity in the business also, because there's a business behind the business.
No, that makes perfect sense. And I mean, your resume speaks for itself. You've done so much. How did you make the jump from being in the place where people would try to treat you like that, put you in a position to do one person's hair versus being able to do everybody's?
You know, I really lucked out from the beginning. It's the projects that I like, literally. I mean, I'll just say my career is designed by God, because I didn't have any idea in the beginning what I was doing. So, you know, from like some of my first projects, some of my early projects, like I did a movie called Thin Line Between Love and Hate. And I met a young lady on there. She was like, I'm getting ready to do a sitcom. Can you come do it? Sure. So I went and did her on a show, which is called, it was called Third Rock from the Sun. Ended up being on there for 6 years. And then it just kept moving and moving. And then I was very strategic about what I took and what I didn't take, because I wanted to be known as a hairstylist, and I'm a Black woman, but I wanted people to know I can do everything. Like, you know, I can cut hair, I can color hair, I can do all the things that are necessary to get the job. And then also, you know, there's certain movies that are pivotal. Like, I think Dreamgirls was pivotal for me. You know, The Help was pivotal. Then coming to Marvel has been pivotal. So, you know, all of those things, because, you know, Black Panther: Wakanda Forever is my 7th Marvel movie. This is not my first go around with Marvel. So I'm very much part of the Marvel family. I love being a part of the family. And it's something that my skill set, I wouldn't be here through 7 movies if I didn't have the skill set.
Yes. And so you have that impressive resume. You've become a mentor. You're nominated for an Oscar. And now you're using your voice to speak about the industry and some of the hardships in the industry. What does it feel like to be in that role, to go from the days of being the up-and-comer to now being this mentor and this strong voice and this person who has the power now to advocate for so many other people?
I feel like it's a great role. I take it really seriously, and it's important in front of the camera and behind the camera. And we should have the opportunities to do million-dollar movies, $100 million movies. It's really important that we should have those opportunities to elevate through this business also and become even, you know, a hairstylist to a director, a hairstylist to a producer. Like, we should be able to step into those roles also and grow our careers.
Yes. And on that same note, where do you hope to see the industry of hair and makeup in Hollywood go moving forward from this point as we head into the future?
I just hope that we see more and more people of color working in this business, you know, where it's more of an even dynamic, you know, where we have people of color working in all branches, you know, from behind the camera where you don't see a lot, from sound where you don't see a lot of people of color, all those places where you don't see a lot of people of color. Let's have more people of color. We have more skilled people coming in and people who really love this business. I mean, the thing about it, you fall in love with this business because it's not easy and it's hard. So, you know, when you fall in love with it, it's not like some people, I read a comment one time on Instagram and somebody was like, well, if it's so hard, the hours are so hard, find another job. It's like, because you know what, lady, this is not a job to us. It's our careers. It's our creativity. It's our life. So you can't just fall out of love with your passion, you know? So that's what it is for us and the people who work in this business. Most creatives, this is their lives and they eat it, they sleep it, they love it. So that's what makes it exciting though, to go to work every day and you work with people who are working in excellence. That's what makes it great for me.
That was KUOW Arts and Culture reporter Mike Davis speaking with celebrity hairstylist and Oscar nominee Camille Friend. You can see if she wins that Oscar Sunday night during the Academy Awards. Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.